Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and today I'm going to be talking about something that's a bit of a somber affair. Kind of a heads up at the start of the video. I didn't want to kind of wade in and talk about this topic, but I kind of feel compelled to because of the way the BBC has handled it. Now, I'll go on the record and say this, the BBC have asked to interview me multiple times. I've rejected it. It's always been my stance since, I think it was 2010, 2011, because they put a documentary out that I feel was incredibly unfair to gamers, gaming communities. They used footage from an iSeries where I talked to some of the people involved, and they said their conversations have been selectively edited. And ever since that point, I just openly rejected. I think the BBC owes the gaming community an apology. I don't want to cooperate with them and sort of help them get traffic now that, esports and gaming is kind of growing. And just to underline this, if any of you think for a moment that the BBC is kind of like your friend, the BBC wants to give a fair platform to gaming, I'm going to show you why that absolutely isn't true today. Now, some of you will have been informed of the tragic news that there was a streamer on Twitch called Brian Vigneault, known as Poshybrid, who passed away. He was a World of Tanks streamer. He's a similar age to me, and the story did particularly hit home. He was doing a 24-hour long gaming marathon to raise money for charity, and he went away from the screen. And the next thing, there was police trying to contact his admins and mods, and unfortunately, he'd kind of, keeled over and passed away, and it's really fucking sad, and it's certainly an eye opener. But I didn't want to get into the hand wringing, people saying, oh, shouldn't Twitch stop 24-hour streams? I don't think that's kind of fair. We don't really know the circumstances around this individual's unfortunate passing, and equally, I didn't want to make a video highlighting it as news because I think that's kind of ghoulish, and I don't want people clicking on a video at the expense of somebody who is a real person, part of our community, who passed away. That's not what I'm about. I don't like to look at that kind of cheap sensationalism. So I left it well alone, but then the BBC waded in and reported on it, and I just couldn't believe the way that they did, because I just thought it was so disingenuous and almost like an affront to the memory of this person who, as I said, let us remember he was doing a 24-hour charity stream. So let's have a look how the BBC decided to cover this story. You can see here the mysterious death of a live streaming gamer. The death of prominent gamers led to debate about whether gaming marathons are hazardous to health. I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily it's a serious debate. We don't really know the ins and outs yet, but the BBC feels quite confident going in, even though it says in its report here the exact cause of death has not yet been established. So, I mean, we can't really link it to the streaming marathon until, we understand the cause of death. But you can see they immediately went in and started talking about other Twitch streamers. You can see here they quoted this guy, Joe Marino, professional Twitch user, who makes money from subscriptions to his gaming channel. And he spoke to the BBC, that he thinks streaming platforms should set up limits on how long streamers can stream. And he said he's developed type 2 diabetes as a result of streaming 12 hours a day, 7 days a week on Twitch. And he says the reason you don't move around on Twitch is because you're live. So if you get up and move, you've potentially lost a portion of your audience. And also, you see here viewers equal money. So look, first of all, the reality is like we've all got an obligation to care for ourselves. And I think we're all adults and we all know if we're making, bad choices, right? Like we all know if we don't get up and don't exercise, we're going to put on weight and that can be dangerous. And if we do things for long periods of time and eat unhealthy foods, we are going to effectively, damage ourselves. And I think we're adults, right? We're all got to be aware of that responsibility. And again, I've always strayed away from kind of entities big brothering us. I don't really like that. And certainly this is an unbelievable tragedy and such a rare event that somebody's going to die during, a live stream. The fact that it was a 24-hour stream, it could be incidental. It could be neither here nor there. As I said, we don't know the exact cause. I think anybody kind of wading in and saying, oh, Twitch has got to do something about this, I think that's really unfair to Twitch, honestly, in a way. I don't think Twitch have any responsibility to kind of parent what we do, any more than we, certainly it comes down to the self. That was the first line of attack there. They talk a lot about Twitch. This gets brought up a while. It's all the talking points about how it got bought by Amazon, this kind of thing. And then this is where it takes a very weird turn. And it starts talking about gaming addiction and taking drugs. And again, why are we linking the death of Poshybrid to any of this? This is all very speculatory, and I don't think has anything to do with the wider issue. And then you can see here, they go, deaths as a result of video streaming are incredibly rare. There have been other incidents. 24-year-old man in Shanghai, 2015, died after playing World of Warcraft for 19 hours. And the death in 2012 of a teenager in Taiwan, reportedly died at an internet cafe playing Diablo 3 for 40 hours straight. I mean, this is reaching. And you go into, LAN cafes and this kind of stuff. I mean, this is how desperate they are to kind of make this almost like appear to be a trend. And it's not. And then it goes into this part, which again, this is, I'm going to show you how the BBC consistently does this. Starts talking about gaming addiction. Well, Poshybrid wasn't addicted to gaming. He was doing a marathon stream for charity. This is an absurd leap to start talking about this. And Cam Adair from Game Quitters, which is the largest online support community for people who have gaming addiction, says Twitch and other streaming platforms have a duty of care to their users. I'm not saying the companies need to be policing their users. I mean, it turns out you are saying exactly that. But I can simply reach out and say, hey, I've seen you've been playing for 15 hours today, which is different than what was going on before. Are you okay? However, for professional Twitch streamer Ben Broman, who's taking part in 11 25-hour gaming marathons, imposing health guidelines would be too restrictive. And then again, they throw in like a little counter argument here. So, you're kind of like, well, that's okay, isn't it? Why have they gone to gaming addiction? Why are we talking about gaming addiction here? A streaming marathon within a charitable context isn't gaming addiction. And I'm going to remind you of this documentary that they did on Panorama. Now, this documentary that they did was called, I think it was Addicted to Games. I'm going to show you the page for it here. It's no longer available on the BBC website, but you can see it here. Addicted to Games, and it was a documentary that was done by. I'm saying you can see it here. Of course, naturally, certain pages aren't going to open. Let's try it one last time. And okay, well, it's not going to open. But oh, there it is. Right, good. So you can see that here. Addicted to Games. As PES to Power kicks in and the computer games industry launches, so its products on the live Christmas market, Panorama hears from youngsters who've dropped out of school and university to play games for anything up to 21 hours a day. They describe their obsessive gaming as addiction. Reporter Raphael Rowe meets leading experts, calling for more independent research into this controversial subject, and reveals the hidden psychological devices in games that are designed to keep us coming back for more. Now, in this documentary, they made a bunch of insane assertions, but they admit that there needs to be more research done, yet this didn't stop them concluding that gaming addiction was a very real thing. And this documentary took some huge extreme examples. They talked about this these parents in, I think it was South Korea, who had basically were going to a PC LAN cafe, a PC bang, as they're called, repeatedly, and they let their children starve to death because they were addicted to games. Didn't talk about the fact that these parents were already known to the authorities, were already known to social services in South Korea, and had incredible mental health problems. Gaming addiction certainly would have been the least of them, if indeed it was real, which I think it's no more real than you can be addicted to, skydiving or, anything else like that. But they didn't present a fair and balanced appearance of this, and they've always been harping on about game addiction and gaming as something dangerous and games are bad, right? They couldn't just simply report on this chap's death and give him a nice send-off. They have to link it to this political agenda of theirs, and they've been consistently attacking gamers for the longest period of time. Now, to show you how strongly I felt about it, There was a journalist called Ian Burrell who, gave the counterpoint and went out and fought for us in the mainstream media. And he did this over at The Independent. And this was the reaction to this ludicrous documentary, for which they've never apologized for. This is the one where they selectively used quotes from people at iSeries saying, "Yeah, when I first started playing games, I used to play for like, oh, 10, 12 hours a night." And then that's where the quote would stop. And they would say, "But I, got a handle on it quite quickly, and everything's fine now, So Ian Burrell talked about it in here, and this article he wrote, and you can see the company I used to work for, Heaven Media, was also quoted. And Mark Reed had a good handle on it, and my old boss saying gaming is a passion. Passion can lead to indulgence to the point of social indifferences, but the suggestion that it is linked with crime or health issues is not founded. In fact, it's just stupid." And me and Mark used to, we, I mean, we couldn't believe when this documentary came out. You can see people were headlines: "Can gaming be as addictive as heroin?" I'll answer that for you. Absolutely not. And there's certainly no science to suggest it. But here's where I got quoted. And it said on the Cadre website, gaming journalist Richard Lewis described the Panorama program as a pointless, aggressive, inaccurate, and imbalanced attack on a media format that they clearly don't understand. Adding that the recurring flaw in the documentary was its willingness to apportion blame to the games themselves rather than look long and hard at the people who played them and the circumstances surrounding their lives. And, as I said, I've always rejected the idea of gaming addiction. But here's the key thing: why are we bringing it up in this context? There's absolutely no context here where this discussion is appropriate. Poshubrid was a dedicated streamer. He had streamed a lot that week building up to this marathon he was doing for charity, and there's certainly nothing to suggest he was addicted at all. Now, if you want an actual nuanced and interesting take on it, I suggest that you go and read. There was a twit longer by a chap called Towley, who I've apparently been mistaken for. When I go to gaming events, some people say I look a bit like this guy, which is neither here nor there. But he seemed to have a very good take on it. And there are some health concerns when you're a streamer and you spend long time, just not even if you're a streamer, if you're like me and you're a journalist and you spend hours hunched over a keyboard and you haven't got time to cook because you're busy doing research and you order takeout food and you eat it over the keyboard and you work, 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 work. Obviously, you're going to gain weight. Obviously, you've got to look after yourself and take better care of yourself. I know I don't do that. I know I don't take enough good care about myself. It's something I really got to step up and be more conscious about my health as I get older. But Towley put this twit longer out, and it really did make you think. And it talks expressly about the death. And he said, "Let's not talk about what Twitch has to do. Let's talk about you and us, the streamer to streamers. The pressure now to stream at high, mid, low leveling of streaming is harsh. Sometimes I feel like we need to take it one step further and do some harsh things, like grind out a 13-hour session, drink for tips, 24-hour streams several days a month. The list goes on and on. In 2010 to 2011, I felt this pressure. I was drinking caffeinated Four Locos 2 to 3 times a day, eating 5,000 calories a day. I streamed 16 to 18 hours a day. I did all this so I could boost my viewership because I believed if I stopped, people will leave. People will not tip. People will unsub. And I went from averaging 100 viewers to about 700 in the early days of Justin, which was really good, but it came at a cost. My health. I bloated up to 400 plus pounds. My girlfriend would say, 'I'm fine the way I am and she loves me,' but I could see in her eyes she was worried. I had discolored ankles, back issues. I couldn't walk at the mall to go shopping for more than 30 minutes before having to sit down and take a break. I knew something had to change. I balanced my life and my stream. It was hard to do, but it had to be done. I had to make a set schedule that worked for me and the important people in my life. I basically left it up to my entertainment for viewers to decide whether they wanted to stay or go. I no longer worried that if I was gone for a day, they wouldn't be there, because no matter who comes and goes, your dedicated viewership will always be there for you. I made days off. I made sure I went out and socialized. I went to a few bars, casinos, restaurants, pubs, date night, movie night, game board night. These things changed my life. Any other streamers out there are a little scared when they stream so much, I have no idea what's going on in the outside world. I knew I did sometimes. Take a break, friends. Sit back and ask yourself, are you stressed, depressed, sad, overstreaming so much and maybe not getting enough out of it? Or even if you have a huge audience, do you feel this and sense something is missing? Sometimes I think that sometimes missing What's missing is a life outside of streaming. We need to try more to balance our lives and have faith in our communities. I'm no longer scared when I go out on vacations that I am fucked on viewers or subs or my numbers. I find that balance small streamer or big. Oh, yeah, you should find that balance small streamer or big. Rob Towley. And that's the key thing here, that this was a, you know, this was a tragedy, but ultimately, what we should take from it isn't spurious, you know, flimsy nonsense about gaming addiction and let's start that conversation up again. That's the BBC's agenda. They don't care about gamers. They've misrepresented us consistently for years, and they will continue to do so. You know, what we want to talk about here is streaming is a relatively new career. It's a new phenomenon. It's a new type of entertainment, and there are going to be health concerns and things that we all need to do that we should be talking about. And this is the legacy that PoshuBridge should leave behind. That you know, let's actually look at how we can all take better care of ourselves. Let's start talking about common problems that streamers face. Let's talk about those fears and anxiety and pressure that if we don't do streaming marathons, and if we don't do things new and change it up, and if we get an audience, we feel we have to stay there and keep you locked in because we're worried about it not being you know, a job anymore. We're worried that if we go and we don't make any money, we can't make a living out of it. We need to talk about these concerns, because honestly, that's the best piece of advice I think I saw that came out of this, that you will always have your hardcore audience. Your audience that love your work and have been with you since the start will always be there. You know, I find this myself. I rarely stream, but whenever I choose to, I got a following of like 400 hardcore people that'll jump on the stream. And sometimes, yeah, we get lots more. Sometimes we get a little bit less, but the point is, like, all I care about is doing the work and the regulars and kind of just sharing those moments with them. It's not necessarily a full-time job for me, and I don't want to treat it as such. But the people who do probably feel a different kind of pressure, right? But the reality is the same, that these people are going to be there for you. Your core audience will always be there for you, and if you just focus on servicing them and being good and not at the expense of yourself and your own health, because your viewers obviously want you to be healthy and want you to be your best. They don't want anything to happen to you. You know, you're going to be a much happier person, you know, and we can perhaps potentially avoid more tragedies like this in the future by just being less, you know, exertive, you know. We don't need to struggle as much. But it was a really, really sad story, and I was really disheartened to see the BBC kind of just leap on this same old tired bandwagon. None of us who are dedicated to streaming, none of us whose gaming our passion is, we're not addicted. What we want to do is succeed. We're committed. I think that's a big difference here, and something they need to recognize. So there you have it. The BBC, for me, still peddling the same old bullshit about gaming, still being ghoulish and using tragedies to further their own fucking take on gaming. And this is why, you know, you're never going to see me pop up in a BBC interview anytime soon. I think they owe us all an apology. Anyway, obviously, you know, my thoughts and condolences to PoshuBridge's nearest and dearest. But yeah, the big take home here is, you know, let's you know, streaming is something that we can all do. We can all be dedicated to it, but it should never come at the cost of our own personal health. And I think Towley's hit the nail on the head there. Anyway, thanks a lot for taking your time out of your day to watch this short video. It was something I felt compelled to comment on, and I will see you on the next video.